Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 10 in Mark's Gospel, which is verses 17 through 31 of chapter 10, and it is found on page 878 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen for God's word to us. And as he, Jesus, was sitting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to them, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard for it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." And Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first." It's the word of the Lord. I love the story of the rich young ruler, as it is called. Though in Mark's gospel, the man is described as neither young nor a ruler. He is just an ordinary man, which kind of brings him down to our level, places him in our category. He could be you, he could be me, he could be any of us. He's just an ordinary man who has been met by Jesus, as all of us at one point in our lives have been met by Jesus. And it's important to note that Jesus here is on the road. He is going someplace. He is on the way. And he is encountered this man. Again, a man who is a lot like all of us, except you say he is rich, and we perhaps are not. That's partly true. This man is rich. We are told that he has lots of possessions, but if we are honest with ourselves, so do we. Wealth and riches are always relative. None of us are Bill Gates, none of us are Warren Buffett or someone like that, but compared to many people in the world, many people who literally die trying to come to a place like this, we do pretty well. Many of us have a roof over our heads, we have plenty to eat, we have cars and televisions and all sorts of electronic gadgets. We have a lot of possessions. This is not, of course, to make light of the deprivation within our borders. There are people within our very borders, within this very community, who are struggling just to make ends meet. But perhaps we are closer to this young man than we might care to admit. And like us, this man is looking for something. He is looking for eternal life. That's what we are all looking for. That's the reason that you got up early this morning to be here in a place like this, because you are looking for eternal life and you believe that Jesus just might hold the key to eternal life. That's what this man is looking for. He comes to Jesus looking for eternal life. Perhaps he's experienced all the other lifestyles on offer and has found them wanting. I hear people say that all the time, people with lots of possessions. They have everything that you might think would make them happy. They have cars and houses and clothes, everything they ever thought that they wanted. But there's something missing, something more that they are looking for. And what they are looking for is eternal life, life that has God at the center of it. And so that's what this man is looking for. He comes to Jesus and he says, "How can I find eternal life?" Like most of us, like most of you, this man is good. He is a good, decent, solid person. He's not one of those obvious sinners. He's not a tax collector. He's not an adulterer. He's not a prostitute. He's not like some of the other people that Jesus encounters along the way. This man has kept all the commandments, at least. That's what he tells Jesus. "I've kept all the commandments from my youth. Sure, when I was young, I sowed a little bit of wild oats, but from that time, I've kept all of the commandments." And Jesus says, "Good. If eternal life is all that you want, life that has God at the center of it, if that is what you are looking for, there's only one thing that you lack. One thing standing in the way between you and eternal life." And I bet the man's senses were heightened as he anticipated the one thing that Jesus had to tell him. And then Jesus tells him, "Go sell all you have and give the money to the poor and come and follow me." And you heard the man's response. The man is crestfallen. He is saddened because he has lots of possessions. And so do we. I believe that this is the only story in the Gospels where Jesus invites someone to come and follow him, and that person refuses Jesus' invitation. Instead of following Jesus, he decides that following Jesus is not for him. And at least this man is honest with himself. He knows that he cannot have two masters. He cannot have Jesus and he cannot have his stuff too. Unfortunately, many of us today try to figure out how we can have Jesus and have all of our other stuff. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how today we try to do that, find out how we can keep all of our stuff and keep Jesus too? Have you ever noticed how we invent all of these theological contrivances about prosperity theology and about how God wants to make us rich and happy, or at least how God wants to solve all of our problems? Or if we don't do that, we try to figure out how we can make Jesus say here what he really didn't say. I hear people say that the important thing is that we just shouldn't let our possessions grip our hearts. Or Jesus wasn't talking to everybody. He was talking to this particular man because he knew that this man's possessions had a grip over his heart. And so Jesus really didn't mean what he said, at least not when it comes to us. This is where we could use the services of the God is clear people. You know, if you ever talk to people and, you know, sometimes they say, God is clear. The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear in what it says. The Bible is clear. Well, this is one of the passages where the Bible is clear. Jesus says that it is difficult for people with possessions to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. You don't get more clear than that. Jesus emphasizes it two times. Go, sell what you have and give it to the poor. Can't get much more clear than that. And yet, I don't know about you, but I hardly ever hear people say about this verse, the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear, at least not in our society. The Bible is clear. And probably that's an indication of how powerful in our particular society possessions and money has a grip over our hearts, or the acquisition of possessions and money and trying to acquire those things have a grip over our hearts, even inside the church. Grip over our hearts. There are some people, of course, who have read this text and who have taken it seriously. I think of St. Francis of Assisi, whose father was a prosperous clothing merchant, and St. Francis himself, after hearing this particular text, decides that it was about him. And he went out and sold all of his stuff, and not only his stuff, but his father's stuff, which was going to be passed down to him. He sold it all, gave it to the poor, and embarked upon a life of poverty in the service of God. But there have been people, even in our day. I think of Millard Fuller, who as a young executive, 29 years old, was on top of the world, had his own, was a CEO, had made millions of dollars at the age of 29, married, had everything that, you know, society says you need to have, had everything and more. But it didn't bring him happiness. In fact, in terms of his relationships, it just brought more problems. It seemed that the more successful he was, the more difficulty he had in his marriage and with his other relations. And so one day he decided that he would take this passage seriously. And so he gave all of the stuff that he had up, gave it away, and his position, his money, and he started Habitat for Humanity. And then was Acela McCarthy, a woman who worked for other people all of her life, cleaned houses, ironed clothes, washed clothes, worked every day all of her life, putting away her money, never buying very much. She only had one television that only got one station. Never bought herself anything, just put her money away. I'm sure there were times when she wanted something, maybe a new dress, a fancy new dress, maybe some new electronic gadget that everyone thought you needed to have, but she didn't have any of those things, never bought anything until up in age, all the money that she had saved, accumulated over a lifetime, $150,000, which is nothing to, you know, a big CEO today. That, you know, that's chump change. But it was her life savings, $150,000, and she gave it away. She gave it to the University of Florida in care of students who might not be able to have money to be able to attend the university. She wanted the money to go to them. Someone else. She gave it away. But not the man in our text this morning. When he hears Jesus' words, he is crestfallen. He is saddened. And he turns away. And I like what the text says. The text says that Jesus loves this man. Jesus sees this man and he loves this man. There's no bitterness in the heart of Jesus. There's no bile in the heart of Jesus. It's not like Jesus is mad at this young man for having possessions. Jesus loves him just like Jesus loves each and every one of us, just as Jesus cares for each and every one of us. It's not that Jesus is trying to take something from him. It's that Jesus is trying to cure him from something. Jesus loves this man. I think the point of the story, at least for me, is not about us going up into heaven and meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates and St. Peter saying, "Oh, sorry, according to your W-2, you've made too much money and you, let's see, you haven't given nearly as much as you were supposed to give, and therefore you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You'll need to take the elevator down around the corner." I don't think that's the point of the story. I think what Jesus is trying to tell us, those of us who have things, those of us who have possessions, those of us who have money, those of us who have more than what we need, those of us who have plenty to eat, those of us who have a roof over our heads, those of us who live in a rich and powerful and prosperous country. I think what Jesus is trying to say, or ask, or determine, is if we are willing to give up our advantages for the sake of a better world, for the sake of a world that has God at the center of it. If we are willing to orient our lives and orient everything for the sake of that world. If I were a betting man, I would say no. I know too much about the world, have seen too much of the world. I know too much about my own heart. I know the kind of world that we live in, a world of America first, a world where we don't like to give anything to poor people. We don't even like poor people coming to our shores, let alone give what we have to poor people, a world where we can readily give tax cuts while at the same time ignoring everything else. I know too much about the world in which we live, including my own heart. And so if I were betting man, I'd say, no, it's not going to happen. It's easier for us to go through the eye of a needle than it is for us to orient ourselves towards a world where we would be willing to give up our advantages for the sake of a world that has God at the center of it. But then I read Jesus' words, and therein is where I have my hope. With human beings, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, it's possible. Because God will eventually get the kind of world that God wants, despite our hardness of hearts, despite our attachment to our stuff, despite our selfishness, despite our indifference, despite our unwillingness to look at, or I should say my unwillingness, despite my unwillingness to consider other people, God will get the kind of world that God wants. But he wants to know if we will be willing to follow him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us out of this world of competition, out of this world of consumption, out of this world of buying and getting, out of this world of needing to have the latest gadget, out of this world of trying to prove that we are better than other people by the clothes that we wear or the possessions that we have, out of this world of cold indifference. You have called us out of this world to follow you. We are here this morning because we have heard that call. And yet even we sometimes can become distracted. But we ask, Lord, that you help us to continue to faithfully follow you. Follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he makes his way to the kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.